Welcome to the Addiction Solution Podcast. I'm Michelle Dunbar. Enjoy listening and watching as addiction experts Mark Sheeran and I cover controversial as well as helpful topics on addiction, how to move past it, and other related subjects. As two of the co-founders of the Freedom Model, Mark and I will give you a completely new perspective on the topics that matter to you. We will take to task the Recovery Society's lies and misinformation and replace them with facts, research, and the methods to move on from addiction struggles without 12-step meetings, rehabs, and the shackles of endless recovery. Let's escape the treatment and recovery trap together and learn to be free. Welcome to the truth.
All right. Hi, everybody.
Welcome to the Addiction Solution. I'm Michelle Dunbar.
And I'm Mark Sheeran, and we co-wrote the Freedom Model for Addictions, Escape the Treatment and Recovery Trap with our colleague Stephen Slate. Okay, so we want to let everybody know that we have been promoting our coaching certification program. And
can I just talk about that for a second?
Yeah, totally.
Because I was talking to somebody over the weekend who asked me about this. And who kind of works on the periphery of the industry. And she was fascinated. She's like, so are you guys going to certify anyone? And I'm like, well, I mean, yes, but they have to go through the course, right? Like they have to show the aptitude. There's a certain amount of, you have to be a social person.
Yeah, you have to have the social skills.
You have to have the social skills to do it. But there are a lot of people now that are very, very interested that already work in treatment and that already are clinicians of some sort. So they already have that skill set. And yes, if you work in a MAT program or a treatment program or whatever, and you're like, I want to know how to help people for real. I don't want to stress out anymore. I don't want to feel like this warm woman works in law enforcement. And she was like, that's brilliant. It's she goes, I might be interested in doing something like that because so many of the people that I work with have these issues and to be able to provide that service to them and show them how they can change their lives. That's tremendous. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And so yes. Yeah, we're welcoming people from the industry. We're welcoming people from law enforcement. We're welcoming people from the mental health industry. Wherever you do, wherever you are, if you work with the addicted population and you want to, number one, not stress out about it anymore, not feel burnt out, that is, you're watching people go in and out of the revolving door and you want that to end. You want to feel good at the end of the day. I'm telling you, we go home feeling like $1 million every damn day.
Yes. That's really important. So we just put out a video, an informational video, and it's on YouTube about burnout.
Yeah.
And that 6 in 10 clinicians in the addiction help field.
Oh yeah.
Feel like they want to throw in the towel. And so we did this.
And many do. It has a high turnover rate.
The highest of any industry. That's saying something.
Mental health too, by the way.
Yeah. So so take a look at that YouTube video and you'll want to watch this episode because we're going to talk about freedom and we're going to talk about a topic that's apropos to those people that do feel burnout, are tired of working in the addiction help industry and feeling like something's amiss. I can't tell you, and me and Michelle have talked about this and she'll agree. When we talk to people in the industry and we say, do you feel like there's something amiss? Like when you have a client that is quote unquote addicted, do you immediately go, oh boy, oh boy,
I am
not sure. And you feel like you're back on your heels and you don't feel competent in it and you don't want to send them to another AA meeting. You don't want to send them to another rehab because you've watched people come back to you as a clinician over and over again in worse shape. And people go, yeah, that's me.
Yeah, totally.
So this training is for you.
Yeah.
Where you don't have to go to work on your heels anymore feeling like, oh God, I'm not good at this. We'll show you how to be great at it. We've been doing it for 36 years and we do it every day. And people say, how do you do that? Well, when you're successful, it's easy.
Well, exactly. And look, there is a difference between, I can remember when we first started
every person that went in and didn't do well or really struggled, I felt that personally. I felt like somehow I had failed them. Yep. And in a sense, when you're providing the wrong information, you kind of are failing people, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when you're providing information that you're confident in, that you know is the truth, and you allow for that person's autonomy, like, and freedom. I mean, we're going to talk about freedom today. You like, people are free to like what they want, to do what they want. They like, you don't, it is not your responsibility to direct somebody else's life, because number one, you can't anyways.
Right.
Right. So, I mean, anybody that's had a child, when that kid learns to walk, I mean,
all bets are off.
All bets are off.
They're autonomous.
They are autonomous little creatures. So, and you definitely can't get in their mind. You don't know what they're thinking or feeling. And so even as a mental health clinician, when you get somebody you're working with depression, for example, all you can do is challenge those beliefs. All you can do is provide them information so they can question what they're thinking, which is life is futile, right? I mean, depression, that's what it is. And you can't get in their mind and change it for them. So when you realize, okay, the only person I can change is me, and the only thing I can do for someone else is provide them factual information and listen, right? Be a good listener. It changes everything.
Yeah, it does. It does. It's amazing. So let's transition. So if you're interested in the certification program and you want to be certified in the freedom model and change the way you help people to a more effective model, where are they going to go?
They're going to go to thefreedommodel.org/certification. There is an application on that page. Okay. Fill out that application. Let us know you're interested. It'll take you to a page, that will give you detailed information, and I will also email you.
That's right.
And then one of us is going to contact you by phone or text, and we want to talk to you. We want to set up an interview with you. Yep. If you've already done an application and we haven't contacted you yet, look in your spam or junk folder, because you did get an email from us, at least one, probably two or three at this point. And check your text messages. We're going to be reaching out to people again that we haven't yet heard from. And in this coming week, to set up an interview with you. So, and it's a quick interview. The couple we've had have lasted almost an hour,
we end up having a good conversation.
We end up having a great conversation with the people that are interested in certification. So there you go. And then it'll give you all the details. And we are right now enrolling for both the fall and winter sessions.
And there's only 25 slots in each, so that we can really make sure we're training you properly.
Yes.
And, you know, the resource of Michelle and I is used properly. It's an exciting time.
It is. So, it is.
Okay.
So freedom. What will you be training people to get, right?
Yeah.
So
somebody asked us, why did I come up with the title, The Freedom Model? How did that happen?
What does that even mean?
Because originally that's not the name of what we were doing. It went through probably five or six different name changes as the research, as the evolution of what we were understanding about the concept of addiction changed. And that concept changed based on the idea, number one, that I was dealing and Michelle was dealing, we were all dealing with autonomous people.
Yeah.
So if you're a student of mine and I'm coaching you, one of the first things I'm going to ask is, what constitutes success to you? What defines success in our session? We're going to have a 90-minute session. And this is one of the first questions I'm going to ask you as your coach. We're going to have a 90-minute session today. What would you define success as? And then whatever they say is what I'm going to shoot for. Now, why is that important? Is because if they say, I just want to learn how to get really high, drunken high, and not have my wife find out. Right. That I have had people say that.
Yeah.
And so that's a very different thing from somebody who says, I want to learn that. In the vast majority, I say 9 out of 10 will answer in this way. They say it differently, but they say, I want to know that I'm in control.
Yes.
And that I'm a master of my destiny, essentially, when it comes to drugs, alcohol, or whatever fetish we're dealing with. And I go, okay, now I know the end goal. What's interesting about that question and their answer is, I'm not saying something prescriptive. I'm not saying, okay, so we're here and we're going to teach you how to abstain. And, you know, there's none of that.
No.
Because I'm not the one who makes a decision for an autonomous, critical thinking human being that is autonomous and has their own sovereignty. I have no desire, nor do I live in the illusion that I have some capacity to manipulate, coerce, and change your mind for you. And so that concept, when I really understood that I am a passive player providing information, that probably happened in around from the year 1999 to about 2017 when we wrote the book, is where I really firmly understood that.
Yeah.
What my role was is that I'm a passive purveyor of information that is factual. And now, and I'll let Michelle speak on how she does this, but when I ask that question at the beginning of the session, and then we build the puzzle together where I get to understand their circumstances. Then I ask the questions with my Socratic method, right? I'm asking questions so I understand who this person is. Everything that I'm doing is in pursuit of that person's goal. That's freedom. I have no agenda. I'm just there to say, okay, I'm going to show you how to have control, how to have that sense of control. I'm going to show you how to whatever, A, B, C, D, and E. So anyway, that's freedom. That's freedom for me. I don't have to be prescriptive. I don't have to manipulate, coerce, shuffle people around. There's no shoulds, have tos, none of it. There's just, what do you want? And I'm going to help you get there.
Well, I think, I had a guest when we were at the retreat, when we were teaching at the retreat, I had a guest come in and say to me, you need to tell me that I can't drink.
That's so common too.
You need to tell me that I can't drink. Cause I asked the same question, Mark. We always start with the same question. What is your goal? And, you know, because a lot of the people we get now know the freedom model already, they don't say this as often.
That's true.
But some still do say, well, my goal is to be abstinent. And then you have to dig further for that, right? Because I have to be abstinent. I have to be, you don't have to do anything. And this is what I'm talking about. So many people go through life and they think they go from one thing to the next, and they're not conscious of it. They feel obligated. They get up and they go to work every day. And, you know, by the time you're in your 30s, so much of what you do is habitual, and so much of what you think is habitual, so much of what you believe is based on past experiences, and that you're reinforcing those beliefs based on your habits. And you're kind of like just kind of going from thing to thing to thing, not really conscious, right? There's a difference between being alive and living. So when somebody comes to me and they say, I have to be abstinent, that's just another one of those things where they're just going from thing to thing to thing and they're not consciously choosing.
Yeah, they're not asking themselves why they're even saying it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so when that woman said to me, you have to tell me I have to be abstinent. That's what I want you to do. I want you to tell me I have to be abstinent. And for the first time I said, I can't do that. I'm not going to do that because it's not true. And I'm not willing to lie to you. Okay. You don't have to do anything. She's like, I'm going into liver failure. I have to be abstinent. Nope, you don't. Your liver can fail and you can die.
And you don't have any power to make that happen anyway.
I don't.
Right.
So And then I asked her this question. I said, because I knew the answer. How many treatment programs have you been to? 12. Did they all tell you you had to be abstinent? Well, yeah. And here we are. Yet here we are. So I'm you picked us because we're different. So why would you want me to do the same thing you've been doing for the past 30 years in 12 different treatment programs? She's like, I wouldn't. And I said, no, what we're going to do is you're going to start to live mindfully and you're going to figure out what you want. Because, and I'm not going to judge it. If you said to me today, I love drinking so much that I'm willing to give up my liver for it in my life, I would say, okay.
Right. And obviously up to that point, she has been willing.
And that's right? it. And that, yeah. that's what I said to her. I go, does that make me less compassionate than the people that lied to you?
Right.
No. But here's what I can help you to do. If you get to the point where you're like, if you just said to me, I want to live. Okay. I want to live. Okay. Do you want to live more than, are you willing to live without alcohol? Well, not right now. Are you open to learning how you can be happy without alcohol? Yes. Now we have a place we can go. If you're open to the idea that maybe you can be happy without alcohol or with less alcohol, then we have a place to work from.
That's right.
So, but all of that is about becoming mindful of our decisions and what we really want. The woman that I worked with that said that to me was in her 60s. And so she had a 40-year drinking career. And up until that point, nobody had ever asked her, do you think you can be happy without alcohol? Not one treatment program.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable because a treatment program is based on control.
Yes.
So you have the
freedom. You have to not drink.
That's right. You have the freedom model and then you have the control model. You have the freedom model and every single other modality in the addiction help world is a control model because they don't believe that you're capable of changing.
Or being happy without it.
Right. So they've built the drug up so much that they believe that you're in a perpetual state of deprivation. And because they come from a perspective, when somebody walks in the rehab door, that you are being deprived of what you love. They're terrified that if they mention, do you like alcohol? Is the goal to moderate?
Mm-hmm.
It's so scary to the staff of those programs because they're afraid that the lure of the drug, this sort of straw man that they've created, this elevated status of drugs and alcohol or whatever fetish, is so powerful that the person will leave the rehab and not pay. And I've been in so many meetings and consultative meetings where the entire meeting is dominated. And I'm telling you, how many professionals, I want you to listen to what I'm about to say, where every tactic is about avoiding the drunkalog. You know, we don't need them talking about their past, you know, and
the great times they had
and the
right?
good and the good positive aspects that they're not allowed to talk about the good aspects of things because behind that is a terror that they're going to say, well, you know, Johnny might leave the rehab. They might leave. And that's a problem. It's a problem for their financial model. And so they'll do everything in their power to control those people. And they're coming from a perspective of absolute total control. And never do they say, what do you want? And why?
Right. Right. It's like there's a fear factor. Now, we're not beating people up in the treatment programs. We're not doing that. You know, the clinicians that are on the floor working care about people. And I think there's a fear that if I allow someone to tell me what they really want, they're going to, of course, they're going to say, I want to be drunk and high all the time. And because that's what I absolutely want. That's how I'm happiest. You know, 90% of the people aren't going to say that, but there is a fear that they will say that and they'll start romanticizing it and then they're off to the races, right? So there's this idea that we have to pigeonhole people into abstinence, that at any cost.
That's a great point. So they're gonna force them into a position that they don't want.
Right.
So you got to, what we do in freedom is we go from the point of, can we be honest?
Let's talk about it.
It's okay to say
what the hell do you like about it?
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's freedom. So the way we came up with the name Freedom Model is because you're free to think what you want.
Yeah.
You know? And boy, now what's interesting is it gets sticky and it gets a little more complex because if somebody's been to treatment, first of all, they're not used to talking about what they want.
No. Or what they like.
And when they've gone to multiple treatment centers, the drug has been built into such a juggernaut of value. It's been overblown to such a ridiculous degree that it has a godlike presence. So I have to, and Michelle too, when we're coaching somebody, we have to start from the perspective of, I want you to say what you want. And then they go, really? I can do that. Yes. Mm-hmm. I want you to, I really like shooting heroin. And I go, okay, now we can work from your truth.
Right.
Now, objectively speaking, I think my professional opinion is that based on some of the things you've already said in this coaching session, you have a very elevated status of this drug that isn't actually real. But that's a different topic entirely. We're going to go down a path where we challenge what you believe about the drug. But make no mistake, the industry has built the drug into this godlike presence in your life. That isn't actually true. And you're reinforcing it with your actions. So you believe it, you reinforce it, and it manifests. I have to reverse engineer that with you with truth. And that takes 3 sessions. That's what we do. But I don't ever, ever tell them that they have to abstain. What I say is, let's talk about why you like it. Let's see what's real. Let's challenge it. And let's have some fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's explore these things. Now, we also get almost equally the people that are so heavily confused that they're like, I hate it. There's nothing I like about it. I don't know what I like about it. And I believe them. Yeah. I believe them because we live in a culture where you're not allowed to say, I like getting drunk. Right. You're not allowed to say, I like being so high, I'm almost passed out. And then there are people who don't like that part of it, right? The blackout drunk part of it, but they like the real buzzy like part of it. But they don't even say that. Right. And so with these coaching sessions, that's what we have to do. We have to say, let's set aside guilt and shame. I know we talk about this, but it's so crucial because in the control model, it's all about guilt and shame. You're supposed to feel guilt and shame. How could you even like something like that?
Yeah.
Right. And so you have been conditioned to not even be truthful to yourself.
And the clinicians, I want to speak to them right now. The clinicians are out there going, I know it's counterproductive. Like they know in their heart that when they're trying to say to their client, you shouldn't like this. Let's sit down and write down all the consequences.
Negative. Yeah.
Yeah. All the negative results of your getting high.
All the bad things that you keep doing.
And when the person does that.
Oh, God.
It just, the reason it's so utterly useless to do this is because it's counter to human behavior to be motivated by negatives.
Right.
So the whole model of control, of controlling people, the whole point of control, whether it's through governments, through the tyranny of experts at rehabs, whether it's through a clinician, is I'm going to make you fearful of said object or situation so that you avoid it. The problem is the person obviously does not see it that way.
Right.
And that point is ignored in every single program. When I deal with somebody with a PMO issue, for instance, let's say the guy's 25 years old and he has a serious masturbation issue with internet and his whole life is falling apart because of this. And a lot of these guys are thinking suicide. I mean, it's
really awful,
massive, significant problem in their life.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing I do is I talk in complete, explicit, plain language, like we're in the street talking about porn. And they go, you watch them sort of at first get shocked by this. And they're like, I can't believe you're talking about liking porn. And I go, well, you obviously like it a lot, right?
Right.
Like what else would we be talking about?
Right.
I mean, we have to come from a perspective that's real.
Nobody engages in behavior they don't see value in doing. And right. They don't like, and nobody has a problem with something they don't like a real lot.
Right. So if I'm not coming from the perspective of truth,
right.
And that is, our starting point has to be an honest starting point. So then what happens is they're sort of put back in their chair and then they're hugely relieved.
Yes.
And what's really interesting about this approach with non-judgment, the Socratic method, and what we do in coaching, what we do at the Freedom Model, is that within one session, we eliminate guilt and shame from the conversation. You want to talk about productive? At that point, you're having the people feel liberated. These are words of freedom, aren't they?
They feel heard and seen and known.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's so huge when you're trying to help somebody with a problem that they feel ashamed about is allowing them to be who they are.
Yeah. Allowing them to talk about their fetish object, whether it's beer, heroin, or porn, or gambling, or cigarettes, whatever it might be, to be able to say finally, to smile slyly and almost embarrassingly the first time is how it always happens. I go, yeah, I do. I fucking love this.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to do about it. And I go, okay, now we can work from that perspective. So when we came up with the Freedom Model, the title, the Freedom Model, I don't know what year it was. It had to be.
Oh gosh, it was probably 25 years ago. I think it was like you came up with the Positive Drive Principle first.
Yeah, it was all around the same time.
Like it was
about 2008, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, it was about 20 years ago. It was right around 20 years ago. And you know, Mark was like, I think pretty much everything everybody does, everything you do is in the pursuit of happiness, even if you're somebody that is going from like what I described earlier, even if somebody that is a creature of habit and you just, everything you do seems obligatory, you're still doing that. Your Positive Drive Principle is not something you can activate or deactivate, right? I think sometimes people think that.
That's a great point.
Your Positive Drive Principle is always at work. And so the only thing that changes when you're not mindful about the things that you're doing is you feel a victim, you feel passive, you start to feel very dissatisfied with life, even though you're doing the next thing that you think will make you happier, right?
That's right.
Like you're not consciously. So when we talk about the Positive Drive Principle, you can either consciously implement the Positive Drive Principle or let it do its thing in your life anyways, because it's going to.
That's a great point. So one of the lessons that we do is write down your expressions of your Positive Drive Principle. What do I mean by that? What is an expression? An expression might be, I'm going to drink this cup of coffee right now because that's what I want to do. I am expressing what I believe will make me happiest in that 5 seconds of drinking the cup of coffee. And when you become conscious of your personal expressions of your Positive Drive Principle, that's what Michelle's talking about. So in coaching, when we do that, we suddenly realize the only way I can be totally cognizant or aware of my expressions is if I get rid of shame and guilt first.
Yes.
Because if I'm shameful about the fact that I like coffee, even though it makes me jittery and crazy, right? As an example, I don't know. It doesn't really do that, but let's say
he can drink a cup of coffee and go to bed. Yeah. I'm just saying.
But let's say it's something else, some other fetish that was really, really, you know, drinking a case of beer. If I become conscious of the fact that I'm drinking a 30 rack every night and I'm falling apart, then I can say, wait a minute. If I take the guilt out of it, I drain the guilt and the shame and all the ghosts of what people have said, how bad it is for me, and the rehabs that made me list out how much I hate it and what it's done to my family and how it took my license away and all this kind of stuff. You get rid of all that shit.
Yes.
You get rid of all that shit. You put it on a shelf and you go, just imagine. I want the listener and people watching to imagine you take all that stuff and it's this nasty coloring and you put it off to the side, and what you're left with is, why do I like a 30 rack?
Yeah.
And when you can look at it, that's an expression of my positive drive. I believe that the 30 rack provides me the best avenue to my happiness. That's freedom. Freedom is the freedom to be able to say, yes, I believe that this is the best expression when I'm doing it. But you're allowed to question it.
Yeah, that's when you question it. When you're like, you're allowed to question. Do I really? Because it's not just, why do I like beer? It's, why do I like 30 beers? And over and above 2 or 6.
Or none,
right? So you're allowed to start thinking in those terms of, okay, why do I like 30 beers? And become mindful as you're drinking it. Like, what is this doing for me? And is it actually doing what I thought it would? Because going into, you know, as you start drinking, you definitely have expectations. I mean, or else you wouldn't be doing it. You are looking forward to something. What the hell is that? Mm-hmm. You know, so that's when we're talking about freedom, if you want to be truly free, you start to get in touch with and understand yourself on a different level. Like, okay, what do I like about this? And what really will make me happy? Not based on what made me happy 25 years ago, because I think sometimes people are going along those because, you know, 8 drinks made me pretty happy when I was 18, 19, 20 years old. I was pretty happy doing that.
Yep.
It doesn't make me happy today.
So the value of having a coaching session like this that's structured in this way is really interesting because it may be the very first time in somebody's life that they're able to express their truth at that moment.
Yes.
And I can't tell you how I watch people say to me, wow, I am really glad I had this session with you because I've never, ever even been able to ask myself these questions. You're so trained with guilt, shame, and control and coercion and manipulation by the world, the culture, your wife, your husband, your family, society, the law, probation departments, social services, child protective, rehabs. It's fucking endless.
For sure.
It's fucking endless. And then finally you can sit in this private session and go, even with all that raining down on me, the only thing I want to do is get totally hammered.
Yeah.
And then I go, I get it. Yeah. I was there too.
Yeah.
I loved it. Now, when you get there in the session, now let me back up. Some people can get there on their own.
Yeah. Lots of people.
The multitudes of people, mm-hmm. that get over the problem, the millions that do every year globally, do that on their own. They navigate through that labyrinth of judgment and guilt and shame. They cast it aside at some point and they go, you know, I think I'm ready to stop for me. I'm ready to stop for me for these reasons. And then they do, or they moderate, or they just move on with their lives. What we do with the sessions is we just fast track that. We just fast track it by being some sort of reflective mirror with the Socratic method and asking the questions and being open and being able to have a free dialogue, freedom. See how that happens? Free, a free dialogue. You can change your life really fast. I mean, it just takes off. So that's what freedom is. Freedom is being guiltless about what it is you're doing. Now, I'm not going to say that if you're hurting people, destroying lives, and you're just a destruction ball to everybody around you, a wrecking ball, that you shouldn't feel guilty about that. I make no judgments about that. You're probably going to feel like shit. I know I did. But in the sessions, we finally have a way to clear and put that on a shelf so that you can figure out why the hell you like it.
Yep.
And then if you want to feel guilty about that, that's on you. You know, that's a different discussion for later. But problem solving requires a clear view of the problem. And you're not going to have that without some sort of Socratic method or some sort of process internally where you let go of the shit that's blocking you from it, from proper analysis. So anyway, that's freedom. Freedom is you're autonomous. I'm autonomous. We all get to decide for ourselves.
I want to say one more thing about freedom, okay, and what the freedom model is all about. And that is when you know that you're fully in control of every single behavior, when you know you're free to have a cocktail, if that's what you want to do, and then not have another one for 2 years. And then have another one. And all of these things that used to be problematic for you now do not scare you. Like, and they don't run your life. You're not planning your next drunk, even if it's 6 months down the road. You're just this person that goes along and knows exactly what they want. Maybe not at every moment of the day, because life is life, right? And things happen, but that you're not afraid.
Yeah.
You don't feel a slave to anything, nothing, right? That's freedom to me.
Yeah. Yeah. So. That's everything. So look at, if you're ready, if you're a clinician and you're ready to finally feel really good about what you're doing, and you'll have the freedom to be able to have the right conversations with people where you'll be super effective. Check out what we're doing. Check out the certification. Get our app. That's what the QR code is right there. That's everything's always back.
Yeah, there it is.
That's got a sampling of everything that we do. If you don't know about the freedom model, and get our book. It'll blow your mind. It'll change your life.
Yeah, it sure will. So yeah, thefreedommodel.org is our website. If you have questions, you want to talk to us, our phone number, if you're watching, is at the top of the screen over there. Or it's 888-424-2626. We are happy to talk with you. That we answer that line most of the time. So, all right. And if you don't get us, leave a voicemail. I will not call back if people don't leave voicemails. We don't return calls, because we get a lot of calls and hangups. And I just don't do that to people.
That's right.
But please leave a voicemail. We will call you back as soon as we can.
We will.
All right, everybody. If you're in the US, have a happy Independence Day celebrating your freedom.
All right, everybody. Take care.
Bye.